L.R. Nast, award-winning author, feminist, and social justice activist, wrote these following words: "Do not be dismayed by the brokenness of the world. All things break, and all things can be mended, not with time, as they say, but with intention. So go, love intentionally, extravagantly, unconditionally. The broken world waits in darkness for the light that is you." We begin our service with the lighting of our five candles of fellowship. We light these candles to remind ourselves and our children of our work to create a world that is fair and caring. We strive to make the spaces we inhabit peace sites dedicated to promoting peace. We affirm the sacredness of sexuality and gender diversity. We honor all sexual orientations and gender identities, as well as people who have none, and deeply value each other's authenticity. We continue on our journey towards undoing prejudice, racism, and oppression, our journey as individuals, as a community, and as participants in the wider world. We understand disability as a culture, lived history and embodied experience, and a product of disabling oppressions in society. We work to enable full access and interdependence in our faith community. We are given this one earth and seek to honor this truth by caring for our buildings, our grounds, and all places on this earth in ways that respect the interconnected web of all existence, of which we are but a part. In this spirit we gather, looking toward the day when all people are inside the candle's warmth and light.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church at Washington Crossing. I'm Reverend Kim Wildchesky, and it's my privilege to serve this congregation as its minister. If this is your first time with us this morning, a special welcome to you. We know that it is a brave thing to enter a community for the first time, no matter how you sign on or how you enter a building for the first time. We hope that you will recognize in this hour together that we are a congregation striving to create community however we can, how to celebrate life and change the world. If after this morning's service you would like to know more about who we are or how to get more involved, please fill out a digital visitor's card in the link that will be provided in the chat. And again, this is just an opportunity for you to get to know us a bit more and us to get to know you a bit more too. Additionally, if there's anyone here who is in need of closed captioning, you can turn that on by clicking the bottom of your screen where you see the square with the letters CC inside. Click there and on the option Show Subtitle. And then, of course, if you wish not to see the closed captioning and it is showing up for you, just click on that same box that says CC and click Hide Subtitle. I want to take this opportunity to thank all the people that have made and are making this morning possible. Our tech hosts, Mike Gianella, John Harvey, MJ Hansen, and our AV tech staffer, Ariel Schwartz, who are all behind the scenes, but again, and in different locations, but again, making our time to get together today possible. I want to lift up MJ Hansen again, as well as Lori O'Neill, who create the slides and videos that you see each week. Lee Schofer, as well as our Director of Music Ministry, Carol Tipton, for our music this morning, and also to Greg Pontier, who is our worship associate. As we settle into this time together, I invite you to turn your attention away from your expectations, away from your assumptions, your hopes, and turn instead to your body, to your breathing, to the pace of your heart, to what it feels like, maybe in the clench of your hands or the tightness of your shoulders. Just draw attention to the whole of you. If there is a way for you to be even 1% more comfortable, more calm, more centered, or more curious, this is your invitation to do so now. Today would not be the same if you hadn't chosen to be here. Consider this truth, breathe into this truth as we sing together our opening hymn, Leah Morris's Honor the Dark, the words we placed in the chat.
Honor the dark as you do the light. Receive the gifts that come to us by day and by night. I choose to honor the dark, uncertainty and change. Deliver us from fear until only love remains. Honor the dark as you do the light. Receive the gifts that come to us by day and by night. I choose to honor the dark, uncertainty and change. Deliver us from fear until only love remains. Honor the dark as you do the light. Receive the gifts that come to us by day and by night. I choose to sometimes honor the dark, uncertainty and change. Deliver the dust from fear until only love remains. Honor the darkness, darkness as you honor the darkness. Receive the gifts that come to us by day and by night. I choose to honor the dark, uncertainty and change. Honor the dark.
The Reverend Kimberly DeBus, who recently served as minister at the First Universalist Church of Southold, New York, wrote these opening words because she couldn't find anything that worked. Because no one's done this in living memory. There are no good opening words written long ago or even recently that capture this moment we are in, uncharted territory, taking up a task our past selves and our ancestors can only imagine. But here we are. We are the people this moment needs. And so let us take up our work in covenant, in faith, in pursuit of healing and holding. Let our work today be fruitful and helpful, despite our fears and uncertainties, despite our anxieties and frustrations, and let us chart this new course that says, we were, we are, and we can be again. It is in this spirit that we join with hundreds of other Unitarian Universalists in lighting a chalice, symbol of our faith, beacon, and hope, and an invitation to embody the lessons offered to each of us every time we gather. As we light our chalices today, may we be reminded that we are connected to one another and to a larger community of faith and love. Please join me in our chalice lighting words. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another.
When I breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I breathe out love. When I breathe in, I breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I breathe out love. When I breathe in, I breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I breathe out love.
So Robin isn't with us this morning. So Reverend Kim asked me to share a story. And it's the retelling of a traditional story called Adventures of a Puddlefish. There was once a big tree growing beside the river. Every year after the wet season, a puddle would get left behind in the hollow formed by the tree's roots. And every year, a small school of puddlefish would settle in this puddle. There they spent all their time swimming in circles, trying to catch water bugs, and fighting over what they caught. Then one day, there was a huge splash, and a brightly colored rainbow fish flopped into the puddle after leaping out of the river below. The puddlefish, shocked by this new arrival, all huddled at the side of the pool and waited, carefully observing the newcomer. The big fish seemed to glow with iridescence, and he was smiling. One bold puddle fish made a move towards him. "Who are you? Where are you from?" she asked. "I come from the ocean," came the reply. "What is the ocean?" the puddle fish asked. "Well," said the rainbow fish, ocean is, it's what we were made for. It goes on forever. It's full of so many wonderful creatures. It's brimming with movement and life." "How do you get there?" asked the puddlefish, eager to discover this new wonder. "You jump out of the puddle and trust the river to carry you there," the rainbow fish assured them. But it was then that the objections began to rise up from the ranks of the puddlefish. The realist fish objected, "This puddle is reality. You are deluded about the ocean." The scaredy fish objected, "This puddle is, no one would ever dare make that leap into the great unknown." And the political fish, he proposed, "Both sides of the argument have merit. We should form a discussion group and talk it through." "Talking won't get you to the ocean," the rainbow fish warned them gently. "And summer is coming. Soon this little puddle will dry up. And then what?" Eventually, the visiting fish leapt back into the river and swam away. And very tentatively, a few brave puddlefish also took that leap of faith. The others gazed after them with pity and went back to swimming around in circles, hunting for water bugs, and fighting over what they had caught. Now, Unitarian Universalists don't often respond to moments of uncertainty with fear or with just have faith. That feels a bit too passive, like we aren't in much control. So when you think about these fish this week, I want you to think about the world, the word that described them right before they jumped into the something unknown, something new and unpromised, brave. Right now, we are being asked to be brave about what comes next, about jumping into what's next, not just being pulled along. If that feels a lot to handle right now, well, it is. But I want you to remember that you're not alone. And when jumping into new water, when needing to be brave, it's good to have friends to do this with you. I'm so glad at UUCWC we've got just these kinds of friends. We've got each other. Let's go swimming. And that's the story for today. Thank you.
Greg, you are you're going to put Robin out of a job one of these days, I think. And Carol, it was so good for my heart to hear you play that song. Thank you. My beloved fish, will you join me in a time of further centering? As always, the invitation is here for you to check in with your breath. That doesn't necessarily mean take a deep breath. It might mean that you are noticing that you are breathing. Noticing if your breath is high or low in your chest. Or maybe you are taking this moment to notice the impact of your breath. Again, not a judgment on if you are calm or activated, but maybe this feels invitational to notice how your belly is rising and falling. Now, others of you might want to reach for pen and paper. That centering doesn't mean stillness. It could mean doodling. It could mean stretching. I like the Hindu yogic practice of bringing my thumb to each of my fingertips and saying one word for each finger. I am here now. Maybe you want to do that with me. I am here now. And maybe you don't need to change or do anything at all to be present here now. These are invitations. This is your 1 hour, and this is a moment within that 1 hour to see how you can comfort and center yourself for this time that you have chosen. Octavia Butler is famous in part for her gorgeous claim that God is change. God is change, seed to tree, tree to forest, rain to river, river to sea, grubs to bees. Bees to swarm from one, from many one, forever uniting, growing, dissolving, forever changing. The universe, she says, is God's self-portrait. This week, my colleague, the Reverend Joanna Fontaine Crawford, shared this beautiful lament that I invite us into as our meditation today. She says, we are angry. Lots and lots of us, we got vaccinated, we've worn masks, we've worked from home, educated our kids at home, did our shopping curbside. We were responsible. We were grown-ups. But now the number of COVID patients is skyrocketing. If we are so foolish as to read the comments on the news articles about the Delta variant, we'll find commenters pushing false conspiracies and proclaiming their commitment to be irresponsible. Meanwhile, those who cannot get the vaccination due to their age or for medical reasons are made more at risk. You absolutely have a right to be angry, she says. And there may be something else mixed in with that anger, like sadness, depression. These are the feelings that often masquerade as anger. I was so angry, she says, I couldn't think. My amygdala was fairly vibrating with rage. But what the anger was covering was some deep sadness. I needed to uncover that and allow it to surface. I'm sad because I had a vision of what the fall would look like, and the reality will be so different. I'm sad because that brief blip of a more free summer reminded me what normal felt like, and it was so delicious. And it's been snatched away again. I'm sad because I realized how much I love seeing the smiles on other people's faces, and now we need to cover up those smiles again with masks. But mostly, I'm sad because I am so terribly disappointed in other people. My heart aches as I witness government leaders making terrible decisions that will cost lives. I am crushed at hearing of people who are doubling down on their anti-science rhetoric, despite all the stories of people repenting too late when they're felled by COVID. Admitting to myself these sadnesses allows me to grieve. And it is healthy to grieve. And frankly, better than taking out our anger on our loved ones. I cried, she says, literally cried, and that's okay. That's good too. And after I grieved both for what is not to be and for what is, I found a calmness. Inside that calmness, I could think clearly again. I could look at actual facts. I could see all the people who are doing so much good. I could say, okay, so that plan won't work. Time to get creative. Resilience doesn't mean putting on a happy face when we're sad or angry. Those feelings are part and parcel of being resilient. We feel them, identify them, we grieve, or shout, or get with friends who are feeling similarly and share with them, and then we can take that breath and say, okay, what's the next right thing? And make a new plan. God is change. Seed to tree. Tree to forest. Rain to river. River to sea. Grubs to bees. Bees to swarm. From one, many. From many, one. Forever. Uniting, growing, dissolving, forever changing. The universe is God's self-portrait. My beloved fish, notice that you are breathing. Notice if your breath is high or low in your chest. Are you calm? Are you activated? How does your belly rise and fall? This morning, we lift up the changes of our emotions, of the world, the change of time, and what unfolds and unfurls. Here in this community, we celebrate a change that we don't celebrate enough. These members and these friends, these leaders who became members of this community just 5 years ago, when I saw their names this past week, I was overcome. Listen to these people who have made themselves known, who have changed in the course of their time here because of us and with us. Shelley Cantanzaro, Karen Kent, Lucy Nugent, Steve and Sue Saddlemeyer, Jean DeMoss, David Hoffman, Bobby Hooper, Lori Hopman, Lydia McMorrow, again, Susan Vigilante, Mary Acciani, Denny and Penny Rogers, and Bay Waltman. You know their names because they have been willing to be present to the changes in this congregation, in this world, and within themselves. They've offered themselves to us and we to them. What changes in the spirit of life are you feeling in your body this morning? I'm not going to ask that you share your joys or sorrows to everyone, but if you would like to direct them to me, I will happily witness to and receive them in the chat while we sing together, Spirit of Life. I want to lift up also in this prayer MJ Hansen, who has been working diligently to make the chat work for all of us again. But in the meantime, while it is still undergoing whatever it needs to go through, again, I invite you to share what changes, what joys, what sorrows you are experiencing. Direct them to me in the chat as we sing together, Spirit of Life.
stirrings of compassion blow in the wind, rise in the sea, move in the hand, giving life the shape of justice. Roots hold me close, wings set me free, Spirit of life, come to me, come to me.
Readings of welcome from numerous Unitarian Universalist congregations throughout the country. The first from Boulder Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. You are all welcome here today in all the beauty of languages, cultures, skin tones, shapes, and sizes that come together in your uniqueness. You are welcome here in all the ways you experience and express gender, and the beauty that is who you love and how you love. You are welcome here. In all the ways you make your living and the places you are from, whether you are Christian, pagan, humanist, Jew, Buddhist, mystic, Muslim, Unitarian, Universalist, with all of the traditions that inform your spiritual life, you are welcome here today. No matter how long you are away, nor how soon you will return, whether you come with laughter in your heart or tears, you are welcomed here. You are invited to join us with an open mind, a loving heart, and willing hands. We welcome you today.
From the UU Fellowship in Huntington, New York, whoever you are, whomever you love, wherever you are on your life's journey, you are welcome here.
From First Parish Dorchester, we welcome you, whoever you are, whatever tradition, race, class, sexual identity, ability, age, gender, or immigration status. May you grow in the ways of respect and wholeness. And through all your days, may you know that you are loved.
From First Parish Church of Groton, we are a community seeking to deepen spirituality, to take care of one another, and to be a blessing to the world. Unitarian Universalism is a faith for all. So, whoever you are, whatever country you come from, whoever you love, whatever your abilities, changes, or gifts, wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here in this virtual, at the moment, but very real community.
From the First Unitarian Church of Albuquerque, whether you believe in God all of the time, some of the time, or none of the time.
And from the UU Congregation of Grand Valley, we welcome you here, whether you choose to be seen on Zoom or not, no matter your age, your size, or if you decide to speak, no matter the color of your skin, your hair, or your eyes, no matter whom you love or how your family is composed, whether your ability to contribute comes in the form of time, talent, or treasure, no matter how you express your gender identity or whatever your abilities, whether you come with laughter in your heart or tears, come with an open mind, a loving heart, and willing hands. You are welcome here.
This past Thursday, as many of you know, a letter was sent by email to the congregation relaying that the number of positive COVID cases in Bucks and Mercer counties has surpassed the level of threat that allows us to open the building to small groups of any size. In thinking of this, it should have been a special caring note, those emails that we send out to make a death in the congregation known. It should have come dressed in yellow tape, some message of warning before opening. It's not just numbers, a friend said to me. It's not just data. When we close the church, we close the place that welcomes us, the people to whom we belong. A few weeks ago, I brought Tobias, my nearly six-year-old, into the church building for the first time in over a year. I was so excited to bring him back, like I have only just recently gotten to be back, to bring him home again to this place. In an earlier season of our lives, he crawled, walked, and ran in this sanctuary more than in our own home. Congregants used to shout, amused, to my wife, Tara, "He went that way," as Tobias took his well-known turns around the building like an Indy 500 driver around a racetrack. But this time, Tobias stopped flat-footed in the lobby. "Which way was his classroom?" he asked. He wanted to see it again. Surprised, I pointed down the hallway where he sped up but then stopped again at each door. "No, keep going," I encouraged him on. And when he got to the top of the stairs across from the offices, Tobias stared wide-eyed at the cloth dragon that hangs from the ceiling. "What's that?" he asked. He had no memory of it. No memory of that dragon or of the classrooms, the way his voice echoes in the hallways that aren't carpeted. And the more I insisted that he did, the more emphatic I became relaying the stories of his life in this place, the more disoriented my child became. Like someone with dementia pressured to participate in my world of memory and attachments that no longer existed for him. It's like that a lot now. Yesterday, we went to the park and ran into a classmate of his. If you know or remember my oldest child, he is not quiet. He is not reserved. But face to face with a young friend that we hear constant stories about, he said nothing. After she left, I squatted down to him and said, "Tobias, did you know that that was Maddie?" He didn't. He had no idea. He hadn't seen her nose, her smile. He hadn't heard her unmuffled voice in over 16 months. This evening, while practicing yoga by myself, writes my colleague, the Reverend Gretchen Haley, I felt a body memory of the many hours I've spent in a yoga studio surrounded by other bodies, sweating and breathing and alive together. "I love studio yoga," she says, "about 4,000 times more than I love alone yoga guided by a video, charming and inspiring though they may be. But I haven't been in a studio yoga for over 2 years. It wasn't just the pandemic," she says. "It was the expense, the time, the series of decisions and coordination it took to make such a thing happen. I have been so grateful for the home alone practice, even though it's not as powerful to me as the in-person group one." In this remembering, she continues, "I wondered to myself, would it be better if I couldn't remember that experience at all? If either I'd never known it as a possibility or else forgot what it felt like? Would it be better if, like Tobias, I couldn't remember? couldn't remember the way the parking lot and the lobby filled, the way our bodies mingled, the faces our elders would make at the babies in the nursery through the glass. Would it be better if I couldn't remember the choir's power, the way they sang through tears the days after the election or the mornings of memorial services? What if I couldn't close my eyes, even now, and see the way the dome of the sanctuary would light up by candles on Christmas Eve, or the whirling dervishes of antsy children when Robin or I would speak for just a bit too long? What if I couldn't remember the magic of live group singing? Here we are on week 3 of this relentless sermon series on trauma, and today's invitation to think about avoidance as a trauma response. And all I want so badly is to force Tobias to remember, to make the children know what so many of us have known. There's this great webinar that the UUA put out a while back where the Reverend Sunshine Wolf basically says that once we're able to gather again for a certain period of time, like when we think that we've really truly weathered all of this, they say that we should expect that when some of us even hear the word COVID or pandemic or quarantine, any of those trigger words, that some of us are going to shut down. Some of us are going to get agitated. Some of us are going to fight or flee. And that is a natural response to trauma, that we aren't going to want to talk about it. All of that makes a whole lot of sense to me. Sometimes it is too great a risk to open ourselves to pain that we have survived. We don't always know that we'll be able to contain those feelings, those experiences again. What I didn't realize, though, was that avoidance as a trauma response can also be a refusal to imagine a new world without the old one. Or maybe it is a refusal to value a new world without the old one. Let me say that a bit differently. I can't decide. Should Tobias, should the children be envious of what we have known about church, school, how we know how to message kindness, flirtation, or disgust just with the movement of our mouths, how we've stolen kisses from our beloveds or the magic of reading lips across a crowded room? Should they wish for safety the way we had imagined it, always forgetful, blissfully ignoring the risk that community always was? Or should you and I be envious of what will certainly still exist within these children, despite their lives looking so differently than what we've known or imagined for them? Should we be jealous even of their inherent biological, creative instinct that will, I am certain, lead them into connection, into cooperation, into relationship in ways that we can't yet imagine? Trauma avoidance tells us that there is only one way, and that only way was right and was good, which therefore makes us claim that anything after is wrong and deficient. We get stuck living in this in-between that doesn't actually exist. We get left behind in a world that is no longer and resent the world that is becoming. It makes us ask, would it be better if I couldn't remember that experience at all? If I'd never known it as a possibility or else forget what it felt like? I'm not sure if you're ready for such a clear response. But today, I say no. No, we must land on the side of memory, choose again and again this grief, but also this wonder. As I said in the letter from last week, tomorrow remains emergent and evolving. It always has. It has always required our willingness to stay adaptive and creative. Learning now to exhale in the midst of these shifts doesn't dismiss what was. It asks us, it invites us to dance with the spirit of life as it shows us the way. This week, your invitation into a spiritual practice is to create an altar for what was and to leave appreciative, curious, trusting room for what might come to be. I want you to picture the first chalice of the Unitarian Universalists after their merger, in which the flame was just off center. We've talked about this recently. The flame is intentionally off center. It represents the Universalists' acknowledgement and honoring of their truth, of what they knew to be right and good, but it is off center in order to leave room for all they don't know, for the way the spirit still speaks, for how life unfurls with each new source of wisdom, yes, but also out from each new challenge. The church building is closed again, but our access to one another, to the power of what was and the promise of what will be is continuous. It is an impossible thing to shudder away. So whoever you are, however this time rests or resists in your soul, you belong. You are welcomed here. In fact, we need you to survive. Blessings to you as we face another season of sorrow and concern that grows in might. We are still in it. We are in it anew. We are in this together. May it be so, and blessed be.
Mother Teresa once said, "Love cannot remain by itself. It has no meaning. Love has to be put into action, and that action is service. Whatever form we are, able or disabled, rich or poor, it is not how much we do, but how much love we put in the doing. A lifelong sharing of love with others." The financial affirmation supports one pillar of our mission to change the world. While your pledges support the ongoing work of the church, 50% of the weekly plate collection supports community organizations such as today's social justice portion of the plate, which will help support the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. UUSC advances human rights through grassroots collaboration in more than a dozen countries throughout the world. UUSC fosters social justice and works towards a world free from oppression. UUSC's innovative approaches and measurable impact in promoting economic justice, bolstering environmental justice, and protecting rights at risk are grounded in the belief that all people have inherent power, dignity, and rights. To make a donation, you may use the church website, donate through PayPal, set up e-banking, or send a check through the mail directly to the church. For more information, please visit the UUCWC website. The link is in the chat. Remember to assist our treasurer in noting on your check or the memo line of your PayPal donation that your gift is for the weekly plate. Your generosity and affirmation is greatly appreciated.
I invite you to hear again the words of L.R. Nost. Do not be dismayed by the brokenness in the world. All things break, and all things can be mended. Not with time, as they say, but with intention. So go, love intentionally, extravagantly, unconditionally. The broken world waits. I'm wishing you health. I am sending you love. This is the day we are given. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our closing hymn, Carol, will play and sing for us. It is Comfort Me. I hope that you will move and sing along or listen as you wish. The lyrics have been posted into the chat.
If you have a chalice lit at home, let's lift them together and say the words found in the chat. We extinguish this chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These remain kindled until we meet again.